I want you guys to look at the mind maps that you did earlier, the bullet points that you kind of thought made up who you are. And I just want you to think, how do you view yourself? Is the way you view yourself different to how other people view you? Often, the opinions of other people keep us from realizing our true identities, the things that media say around us, the things that our culture tell us. Often try to shape us, and so even our own thoughts aren't really our own because we begin to think things that have been suggested to us, maybe by family, by friends, by the media, and unfortunately even by Satan. This is something that I've really been struggling with recently. I'm ashamed to say that I've been listening to thoughts suggested to me by the devil, listening to the idea that I'm worthless, that I'm not good enough, and that I'm just going to keep on failing. I don't want you to see you put your hands up, but just be honest with yourself as I ask how many of you have been speaking these lies over yourself as well, or even similar ones. If you're a Christian, you are identified with Christ. We say we are in Christ. Your old sinful life is left behind. Rick Warren says, not only do we know God through Jesus, but we cannot know ourselves, the meaning of life and death, if not through him. Tonight I just want to declare who we are. Declare the truth to combat any lies that we're being convinced of. And if you aren't yet a Christian, I'd like to tell you what the difference is and what it makes to your life to be in Christ. I want you to write down, so if you turn over your paper, I want you to write down the five statements that I'm going to say tonight so that you can then go back home, think about these things, and just remember what I said. And I'm just going to read that passage again. So that was 1 Peter 2, verses 9 and 10. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not attained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. So the first thing I want us to discover about our true identities in this passage is that we are accepted. We are chosen in Christ. So I want you to write that down. I am accepted. In today's culture, we can fear rejection. Everything we do is to try and fit in. We want to wear the same clothes that everyone else is wearing. And if you don't believe me, just look at pictures of people in the 70s, because I don't think they'd dress like that if it wasn't to fit in. The games... People will look back at us and think the same. But the games we play are based on what's cool, isn't it? The music we listen to is based on what everyone else is listening to. Sometimes what we study and where we go is based on fitting in with where our friends are going or what our parents think we want to be doing. So much pressure is put on us in order to achieve the right grades so that you can be accepted into the university you want to go to. I'm not saying that that's a bad thing, that you shouldn't try to achieve those grades, but I'm just saying that we want to be accepted, don't we? And let's face it, being chosen feels good, doesn't it? We like that feeling that when we're chosen, yes, they want me. And people chase this acceptance all their lives, looking for the best, to get the best job, to be the best in their profession, have the best house, have the nicest, most fashionable clothes, have the best car. But I've got news for you. You are already accepted. You don't need to chase after the approval of others because God has chosen you. I'm just going to turn to Ephesians 1:4. This says, just as he chose us in him before the foundations of the world, that you should be holy and without blame before him in love. In Ephesians, Paul says that first, God chose us before everything. We were accepted by him long before we were even thought of, long before the foundations of the earth. He chose you. Also, Jesus makes us acceptable. We are chosen in him. That's in Christ. God's acceptance isn't anything that we can earn if we try hard enough. It's not something that we can study the Bible enough to receive, do enough good things, but it's a gift that he gives us. It's not who we are or what we can do that makes God choose us, but it's because of who he is and what he has done that makes us acceptable and chosen in him. The next truth to declare is that I am valuable. If you write that down as well, I am valuable. The person who owns an item often determines how much an item is worth. So my old trainers probably isn't going to get very much on eBay, but if Usain Bolt put his trainers on eBay, they'd sell for a fortune, wouldn't they? Simply because of who owns them. No one knows who Beth Elkins is. Everyone knows who Usain Bolt is. In 1 Peter 2, we are told that we are God's special possession. As the owner adds value to an item, I want to ask you, who do you belong to tonight? Who owns you? Who owns you? Because I belong to the King of Kings. I belong to the Lord of Lords. I belong to the Almighty God. I am his. And that makes me more valuable than anything else. Because let's face it, who's greater than God? And I can tell you this too, no one values you more than God does. He may own you and have that value placed on you, but no one values you more than God does. How much things are worth are based on how much people are willing to pay. On eBay, when you're bidding, it's based on how much you're willing to pay as to how much the item is worth, isn't it? You are not the best judge of what you're worth. Since we're God's special possessions, he's already decided how much he was willing to pay for us. And it says in 1 Corinthians 7:23, you were bought for a price. 1 Corinthians 7:23. Do you know what that price was? Christ died that we would be bought back to God. That was the ultimate price. And he was willing to pay it for us. God said he would rather that his son die for our sins than to live without us. How amazing is that? God knows how much we are worth, and he sees us as invaluable. And he's paid the ultimate price to get us back to him. Amen? The third thing that I want us to declare is that we are loved. I don't know about you, but I come from a family who constantly embarrass me. And I think my parents do it on purpose, you know. When they drop you off at school, they roll down the window and shout, "Bye, princess!" across the car park. And you're just like, no, that's not me, that's not me. But sometimes people in our family can act a certain way or say some things that make us feel embarrassed or even ashamed, can't they? Or maybe you feel like the way that you act or the things that you say just constantly embarrass and shame your family. That people are constantly ashamed of you. But I have great news. God will never be ashamed of us. We are adopted into his family. And in Hebrews 2:11 it says, Jesus is not ashamed to call us brothers and sisters. His love is unconditional and it's unending. It's not based on our performance, how we act, what we say, but it's completely based on who he is, because God is love. The fourth claim we can make tonight is that we are completely forgiven. Write that, I am completely forgiven. Peter says, once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. And God's mercy is his forgiveness. We don't deserve the forgiveness that he gives us, and yet in his mercy, he extends that to us. Peter is making a contrast here in verse 10. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Before being a Christian, we live in the guilt and the shame of what we've done and continually do. But when we are in Christ, so that's putting our identity in him, we are forgiven. Our sins are completely forgiven. Not partially forgiven. Not as long as we don't do anything bad anymore, as long as we completely live a blameless life. But they're completely washed away. And they're renewing, that forgiveness is renewed every time we do wrong. God does discipline his children because he loves us. But he doesn't count up to remind us of what we've done. No matter what you've done, no matter what you've said, no matter what you've done, nothing is too. We have received mercy in Christ. We have received forgiveness in Christ. Don't live as you have before, when you didn't receive that mercy, when you were living in that guilt, that shame. Don't live in that, because we have received the forgiveness to our sins. We're no longer. God washes us whiter than snow. He has a hold of us. Shame can no longer grip us. And we have no need to fear punishment. The fifth thing is, I am fully capable. So the final point that I want to make from this passage is that we are all capable. Peter describes the Christians here as a royal priesthood. And that applies to us as well. We are a royal priesthood. In Latin, priest means bridge, and that's what in the Old Testament a priest was. They were the bridge between Israel and God. So they could go into the temple, and one special priest could go into the Holy of Holies once a year. But they were the mediators between God and his people. Now, however, Christ has died in order to complete that bridge. God is now approachable. We can go to God, who is now approachable. He was once unapproachable, now he's approachable by everyone. We are this royal priesthood. And God has put a call on each and every one of your lives. Did you know the word vocation? You hear this all the time at school, at work. Vocation comes from Latin, which is call. God has a call on your life. He has a vocation for you. And it's not just what this priesthood idea might seem like. It's not just working in a church, doing things around the church. But God calls his people into all kinds of jobs. As a priesthood, we're called to be ambassadors for God wherever we work, wherever we're going. So whether that be at school, at clubs you do, in the job place, at home with family who are not Christians, everywhere we are called to be ambassadors, that royal priesthood, bridging between people who don't know God and God. Sometimes we can think, oh, I know God wants me to do that, but I can't do that. In the Bible, we see people saying, I'm too young. I'm not good at speaking. I'm not strong enough. I can't do this. But the truth of the situation is, we can't carry out God's call on our lives by ourselves. But that's not what God's calling us to do. In Christ, we have the power to carry out whatever he calls us to do, and we cannot do it alone. We can only do it in Christ. We all have insecurities. We all listen to what the media says, to what friends say, to what we've told ourselves, and to what Satan might be telling us as well. But we should be listening not to what the world says, but to what God says to us. He has called us to be a royal priesthood. And as Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Don't let the lies that people have been telling you, that the media has been telling you, keep you from doing and fulfilling God's call on your life, because he knows that you are capable in him. So I've spoken to you about what our identity should be, but some yet be Christians. I want to tell you, Jesus paid the ultimate price for you too. He didn't just pay this price for people who are already Christians, but so that everyone could be united with him. God has chosen you. He completely loves you, sees you as valuable, but you have to choose him in return. Living out this identity in Christ comes after you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Saviour, and after you've asked for forgiveness for your sins and turned from that way of living and choose to live for God. If you would like to commit your life to God tonight, if you haven't done so before, but you'd really like to be able to claim this identity for yourself, feel free to come and speak to me or to any other leader here tonight, and we'll be willing to talk with you, to pray with you, and just help you come to Jesus, which is really exciting. For those of you who are Christians, we need to find our true identity in Christ. We need to stand, claim it, and rejoice in it. We need to declare these things, not in order to become a Christian, but because we are Christians, and this is how we identify ourselves as Christians against the rest of the world. It's one of those things where you might be thinking, great Beth, I know all this stuff, but I don't really know how to put it into practice. So I'm going to tell you some easy ways that we can declare this truth in our lives against the lies that are being told us. To do, and I'll admit, I don't do this nearly as much as I really should, but we should be reading the Bible daily. The Bible is the Word of God. It's His truth. In Ephesians 6, Paul talks about putting on the armour of God, and the very first piece of armour that he says to put on is the belt of truth. He says, stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. And the belt of truth is the Word of God. This is the first thing that we should be putting on every day in the morning before we go out. And the best way to combat lies that the Satan and the world is telling us is to speak God's truth into our lives. I do this a little bit every day, and you can do this as well. Just start by reading a psalm a day, choosing a book of the Bible and reading a chapter a day. But just getting stuck into the Word of God each day, reminding yourself who you are, that you are a child of God, that your identity is in Christ, that you can do all things through Him. And then when you face troubles during the day, you can go back, you can remember what you declared in the morning, and stand in it and stand against the lies that are being said. And then I want to encourage you to pray regularly. In 1 Peter 5 verse 7, Peter says, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. God wants you to talk to him. He wants a relationship where whatever you feel, you can go to him, tell him your struggles, your joy, your pain, your excitement. He wants you to talk to him. And the more you pray and spend time talking to God, he will answer you and he will speak. And I want to finish by encouraging you that when you do this, he brings peace when you're feeling troubled. So whatever it is in your life, however you're struggling to fit in, to find your identity, talk to him because he cares for you. As we think this through, I just want to invite the band up to sing our final song.